Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Standin.
Welcome back. Hour number two on Let's Talk Hookup, where we're having a great time here at San Diego Landing. Doug Kern in the house from Fisherman's Landing and Fisherman's Landing Tackle, and my friend Corey Standin on the house.
Yeah, having a great time this morning, and like I said earlier, it's an honor to be in the world headquarters with Wayne, and not only Wayne, but with Doug Kern, and having a great time. And we're giving away a pair of Costa sunglasses this morning to one lucky caller or texter. We're going to take a caller from the first hour from being on the fan, and we're going to accumulate that and combine it with a texter and flip the coin right here at the end of the show. And you're getting a pair of Costa sunglasses, the Corbina Pro with the gray 580 glass lens, man. So cool. Going to one lucky winner.
Absolutely. One of the things we were talking about earlier is the tackle out here and what we've gone through. Boy, has it gone through a transition from back when Doug and I and Corey started fishing.
Uh-huh.
The transition and the technology that's out there, it's so much fun every year to see that evolution. What is going to be, and we've seen it, for the newer people that have been fishing, 2015 to now, every year there was something new brought out for this bluefin fishing. Every year.
There's no doubt, but the two things that changed our industry forever is SpectraLine and two-speed reels. Because back in the day, we had only single-speed reels, and a lot of them didn't even have decent drag systems. And we had to use monofilament, which you couldn't get the line capacity. So I think back to the long-range days where they would hook a big tuna on, say, a 50-wide, and a lot of times that would be a single-speed 10-50-wide international. The guy would get stripped, and they would have to put a second rod back up, called it. They'd throw the guy's rod and reel in the ocean. You know, a lot of times this would be like an 80-size reel, so you had maybe 700 yards of line. And a 300-pounder would strip that entire reel. So sometimes they had to go to a third rig, and the guy would fight the fish. And then you'd see that thing coming up, and they'd detach it, and then he'd fight the fish on the second one. And then if you're lucky, you get your outfit back without losing it.
And they put you in a skiff. And
well,
and,
they did
well,
that.
They could do that, too.
Yep.
I've had the issue of the drop back, a double drop back when we were down at Clarion, and we didn't get the fish.
Oh,
it came unbuttoned after the double drop back.
Oh my God.
I had a brand spanking new international two speed in the water.
It went swimming.
It went swimming first round.
But now you get a Talica 50, and you can catch any fish, you know, up to whatever size on that, and it's rare. You know, you've got 800 or 900 yards of line on there. You're not going to get stripped most of the time.
How much Spectra could you fit on there?
Well, Power Pro? Certainly 800 yards. If you're using just a short top shot, you know, maybe 100 or 130-pound.
But the amount of drag you have, the rods that load up. There's so much more things in our arsenal now to stop those fish from taking that kind of line. The mono, you couldn't always trust out what the stretch was going to be or the breakage.
No.
Right?
There's actually one more thing that changed fishing forever. The day that Frank Lopresti walked into the tackle store and said, "The rail is your friend."
Yes.
Because you were a weenie.
You were not cool.
You were a wuss if you're laying the rod on the rail back then. You know,
right. Everybody was
stand up and fight. Come on. But it turned out to be true. These guys that were, you know, a little older, couldn't fight their fish all the way, would have to hand it off to a deckhand. Now they have the satisfaction of landing their fish, fighting that fish for the entire fight and landing it themselves. It's a sense of pride. So now the rail is your friend for everybody.
Yeah, right? We used to have those little 5.5s and 5.6 rods, you know,
the
roller strippers, and everybody was belted back then.
Oh, yeah.
Now we learned that as long as you could put it on the rail, we went the longer rods so you don't scrape the boat.
Yes.
All these things added, right? We're better at knots. We're better at hooks.
Yep.
They're stronger. Everything just kept coming along to make us better fishermen. And now look at all these little low-profile bait cast reels that we're landing tuna, Dorado, and Yellowtail with.
Yep.
I mean, we have just this great arsenal available to us.
And even the techniques. So the gear is one thing, but the techniques have advanced. You know, you never saw somebody shoulder hooking a bait, you know, and that became like the premier way in on a lot of situations. So
shoulders, collars, butts, yeah, all the different ways we hook fish now.
Yep.
Absolutely. Hey, we got Mark Wish on the phone.
Talking about somebody who knows how to hook a bait. And it's brought to us by Gamakatsu. It's so much more than just the best hooks on the market. Gamakatsu G-Boxes have your tackle storage needs covered. And with multitude of designs and styles, the G-Bags and G-Cases, plus the Gamakatsu fillet knives are amazing as well. With fishing season heating up, make sure you have a good supply of Gamakatsu Nautilus circle hooks in sizes as small as the number 4. You can check it all out at Gamakatsu.com for more details. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Mark.
Morning.
Hey, Corey, Wayne, Doug, what a fantastic show. You guys are having way too much fun on Thursday.
Yes, we are.
Should be illegal. We're having so fun.
And, Doug, I got to tell you that killer whale story, I've never heard that one before. That was incredible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know there's magical moments on the water and when you least expect it. And we were just in awe. I mean, you know, it was really something. So we're lucky to have experienced that.
And I did have a friend send that to me, Mark, and it's titled Killer Whale at Coronado.
Nice.
I'll look it up here as soon as we're done. I'll check that out.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be awesome. Anyway, so, guys, we're creeping up on the end of April, and, you know, it is, like you've been talking, it's been a pretty interesting month for sure. I mean, who would have figured a year or two ago that we'd be looking at bluefin, yellowfin, occasional dorado within 70 miles of San Diego for the month of April? It's just, you know, it's unbelievable. And then that yellowtail fishing down there at the Coronados and this beautiful warm water we got almost everywhere. So you guys down there in the southern sector, I mean, you've had it pretty darn good. For the rest of us, you know, it's been a little different, I got to say. You know, bottom fishing up here, pretty good. Rockfish, whitefish, sheephead, you know, that's fighting full speed. But, you know, the reality is we're all hoping and praying for some exotics. And, you know, we're not seeing that much of that just yet. So bass fishing also on the local scene there, it's been pretty darn good. Last Sunday, my friend Mike and I opted out of an island trip because it's been a little slow. And we stayed local, fishing out of Dana. We had a beautiful tank of sardines from the receiver there. This must have been 2-week-old bait. I mean, we only lost one bait all day. It was unbelievable. But we had absolutely awesome conditions along the beach there. You know, those calico bass like it when the sun comes out, which was out by noontime there, and gentle breeze and nice straight back conditions, you know, where you got the wind, the breeze going the same way, so you lay in a spot nicely. And, God, I got to tell you, them calico bass were biting. It was the best local bass bite I've had in many, many years.
So cool, Mark.
And oh, it is awesome. Just absolutely awesome. I mean, I've caught a few calico bass over the years, but, man, it was just, you know, a few. It was just really nice to see that bass fishing the way it was. And the perfect rod, that new one from CalStar, the GG270-8, not the H, just the regular one they came out with a couple months ago, and a Trinidad 14, oh, perfect little combination. That was awesome. Now, at our islands here, Catalina and Clemente, it's just been a very weird setup. You know, you guys were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, Doug, that you watched some of the trees and the flowering, and I watched the famous dogwood trees with the white flowers. Well, those guys this year, I don't know what the hell happened to them, but they started flowering in late December, which is way early. And the flowers were gone, and they were fully leaved by the time usually the flowers are just getting going. So I'm all fired up. I've always seen a correlation between the flowers and the sea bass fishing. So I'm thinking, yeah, game on. We're going to get them things this year. Man, they must have been thinking about something other than sea bass when they flowered so early because, you know, we're just not seeing it. There was a little flash of fish at Catalina earlier, virtually nothing at Clemente in terms of the sea bass. And we're still seeing the same thing. I mean, you know, the islands are getting looked at, and very, very little in terms of meaningful sea bass fishing. Same thing with the yellowtail. You know, Clemente is usually loaded with yellowtail at this time of year. Not. They're just not around. I had customers, 4 very excellent boats fishing both islands last weekend, guys that I talked to when they got back, and it was just incredible. fantastic bass fishing everywhere they went, both islands, and virtually nothing. Four boats with excellent anglers for a sum total of one barely legal sea bass and two small yellows.
Now, what do you think the lack of yellows? Is it a bait thing, or is it just not up there yet, or what do you think?
You know, I don't know. See, we've seen for years that fish push into the Coronados the way you guys have been getting them, and then they bite, you know, really well for a while, and then a certain amount of that fish feels like it breaks off because it seems like it slows down, and then a week or two later, Cometti's game on. There's fish all over the place, and we just haven't seen it.
Hmm.
Those fish seem to be staying there, and, you know, the guys are looking around the island. I mean, it's not that the island's not getting looked at. It certainly is. And there's a few fish on the front, smaller ones, but nothing like we normally see at this time of year. So, I don't know. One of them mystery things. It definitely looks like we are trending to El Nino. You know, all the news reports of the colossal El Nino and all that, that's just a bunch of hype so far. But
as always.
But interesting, it's like we're just going through that normal slump, though. I mean, we go through these periods in and out, right? Doug, we talked about earlier. And you don't know. Hey, here's a good one, Mark. Alex from San Carlos asked this morning about white sea bass at the Coronados. Give him a couple of hints on what he should be looking for to target him.
Well, let me dig back into the archives, because I had a really interesting experience with sea bass at the Coronados many, many years ago. When they first started Day at the Docks, it was like a tournament. And the different boats had different tackle companies on them. And, you know, I grew up fishing with Mike Callen, who was the West Coast Daiwa rep for many years. So I fished on the Daiwa team on the Prowler with Buzz on the Prowler on one of those Day at the Docks tournaments, and, you know, we're going back a long time here, guys. Well, we were fishing inside South Island, in there on the flats, and there was little small spots of squid around. And we'd thought, you know, and you see the birds picking on the squid, you know, the fish had the squid pushed right up to the surface. And we would stop upwind of these spots of picking birds and squid there. And then we'd cast with like a Caddy 45 or Salus 7X, a light jig, not a heavy jig, full-size jig, you know, white or scrambled egg were the top colors. So we'd cast downwind, you'd put the reel in gear, you'd let the jig flutter down, you'd just pull the rod towards you and then let the jig flutter. And pull the rod towards you and let the jig flutter, not reeling until you'd get down to, you know, 45 or more degree angle, and then wind it back. And those fish would hit it, usually not too far from the surface, as it was fluttering down. And we caught, I think, 7 or 8, and they were all like 40 to 60 pounds. They were all beauties.
Crazy.
And,
old-school technique.
That
you can't
technique,
beat it.
Yeah, we've used that elsewhere. When you see them spots of squid around, the birds picking and whatnot, we have used that elsewhere. And, it, you know, that was probably 40 years ago and still works today. So that's one. I don't have a whole lot of experience fishing sea bass at the Coronados, I'll tell you. What you guys were talking about is right. That, you know, there's not the big kelp beds that, you know, we have, well, had, past tense, up here normally. And, you know, it's totally different structure than what we fish at Catalina, especially. Cometti's, you know, different than Catalina. Catalina's definitely kind of the home of the shallow water sea bass, especially. And so we'll see what happens. You know, they just, there was a couple fish caught off in the Dana area here last weekend, a couple nicer ones. But man, we just haven't seen them. So whether they're offshore hanging out on Cortez Bank in the bad weather or whatever, you know, they've got that offshore component in their lifestyle. And, I don't know where the heck they are. The guys fishing the Channel Islands, they're starting to get out, but they haven't caught them. They're getting them out.
They're swimming around, fattening up for us. They're just getting bigger.
I hope you're right. And I hope they opt to come in. And it'd be just a real bummer if we had to settle for, 30 to 50 pound yellowfin and whatnot. I mean, that'd suck, but you know what we're going to do.
Yeah, what do you do? Tie on a popper and get ready, Mark, because it's not very far away and it is happening. I mean, it's coming and appreciate your report this week for sure, Mark. And how do we find you next to that mobile station where you should be shopping at Summit Gasoline?
Hey, Corey, they dropped the price overnight from $6.99 to $6.59. So they're like getting in the ballpark.
I like the trend.
Let me mention one more thing for you guys. You know, everybody's talking about El Nino, and there's just a lot of hype and smoke and mirrors and so on and so forth about what's really happening. But if you want to know, there's a website called stormsurf.com. And when you click on that website, on their homepage, there's a red bar at the top where you can watch a video. You click on it, you watch an updated video. Well, the guy that does that video is, you know, 30 minutes at the shortest, sometimes as long as an hour. And he talks about all the things that make our tropical weather and our El Nino / La Nina do what they do, and what's coming and what's not coming. And, you know, and he it's the real deal. So if you want to get some really good information, go check that out. Click on that red bar, watch that video, and you'll learn all about El Nino stuff for sure.
Can't wait to do that, Mark. That's a good good tip for sure. And, you know, you can't argue with what's happening. And the Yellowfin and Dorado all within as close as 80 miles and a good jag of it, like just below that notch, what Frank was saying. And can't wait, man. My hands are rubbing together. Got my popper tied on, boat fired up. I'm ready.
What's your water temperature up there, Mark, just roughly?
You know, I just looked at the buoys this morning, and out the Pedro buoy dropped down to 64. It's been 65, 66. You know, Dana's 66, 67. When we were fishing those bass the other day, 68.6.
Ooh,
yeah.
And, yeah, it's one of my customers was coming back from Clemente between Clemente and Catalina last weekend, had water up to 70.
Wow.
Water at the islands there, it's been 66. And it's, you know, it's been so warm all winter. And I had a guy in the store just a couple days ago was telling me, he knows a lot about this stuff. And he was saying, not only is it warm on the surface, that warm layer goes very, very deeply. I guess they were doing some testing. So we got a healthy stock of warm water. You know, the wind blows and the temperature dips a tiny little bit, and the next day or two, it's right back where it was. So
typically not a good thing. Typically not a good thing for the kelp, Mark, for my passion of calico fishing, but, hey, I've got the popper tied on. I'm ready.
Did those calicos have the spawning colors yet?
You know, I was interested to check that, and we caught more than a few, and none of them did. And I actually kept one for dinner, which I usually don't, but I had a beauty that was bleeding badly, so I sacrificed him. And no sign of eggs or milk, either one. So,
okay.
Yeah, no. And you would think in that kind of water that they would be, but the ones we caught were not. Didn't see any of those colors yet.
All right.
Interesting.
So, yeah, just another June thing that I wondered if that was starting a little early.
Yeah, we were talking about that in a seminar at the PCS show, Mark, and it, from what I've learned before, it takes several things. It takes the photo period, which is, you know, amount of daylight per day, and water temp and water clarity. And obviously the water clarity's there, the water temp's there, but I really think it'll be, like you're calling it, like an early June kind of. I mean, that's just when all three line up. Because there's years where that water temp doesn't happen and they don't spawn till August.
Right.
You know, so hold on tight. Here it comes, Mark.
Whatever it is, it's going to be awesome.
It just sure feels like it.
We'll take it.
Yeah, so how do we get a hold of you, Mark?
Oh, we're in Huntington Beach by the big Chevron station, and our phone number at the store is, I forgot the Bolsa Chica in Edinger.
Right, exactly.
And the phone number at the store is 714-840-4262, and the website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And get your gear ready, boys. It's coming.
Excellent. Hey, and that's the FishDope.com report. Don't forget, go on to FishDope. You can get $30 off on hookupnow, lowercase, no space, and get you some reports. And, hey, Mark, it's going to be a fun season. I believe it. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Thanks.
Always so much fun talking with Mark, and he's got so much knowledge. And
yes, no doubt.
Yeah, you and Mark on a show would be like...
We don't need to be here.
Right?
I would just
sit back and listen, honestly.
Know. There's so much knowledge. I love it, for sure.
So you have a text there, Corey?
I do, man. There's so many coming in, and this one comes from Ryan and Brea, and I love the show, he says. I've listened so much over the years. I'm trying to put together a budget, quote-unquote budget-friendly surface iron setup together. I've got a Torium 20, so he's starting with a Torium.
That's awesome. Perfect.
But want to pair it with a 9-foot, roughly in the $200 to $250 range rod. What rod would you fit it with?
Well, first of all, if it's a true surface iron rod, we prefer certainly nothing less than 8 feet, but really that 9 to 10 foot is the ideal. The Graftec rods, they have some rods that would probably work for surface iron, and that's going to be the lowest price rod that we carry that is still a worthy rod. Also, the Phoenix rods, they have some 10-foot jig sticks, and I think even 9-foot jig sticks. They might be a little soft for my taste. And then the American-made rods, which is going to be, CalStar, United Composites, Seeker, they have the widest variety, and CalStar has come out with some amazing rods now. The lesser expensive rods are going to be the original fiberglass rods, the West Coast series in CalStar, and a 90J is the quintessential Southern California surface iron rod. They've also come out now with a 95, which is another 6 inches. It's 9 foot and a half. And then, of course, the 100J, which is the 10 foot. And they're going to be a little bit more than your budget. And I don't know if, and I tell people, when people ask you, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? Just whatever your budget is, give me a gift card to the tackle store. And whether it's us or you live in another area and you've got a favorite tackle store. I would always try to get what you really want rather than something that's in your budget that's not really conducive to what you're trying to do. But
because for a little bit more, he probably might be able to get.
Yeah, I think I don't know for sure, but I think those 90Js might be around $400. So
I gotcha.
It's double what he wants to spend. But, the best thing to do is to come into the tackle store. We can pull 10 jig sticks out, explain why one is, good for this, one's good for that, see what the prices are. But it's nearly impossible to get a true quality rod for saltwater that is, you've got to imagine how much material goes into a 9-foot rod. You've got 11 guides instead of like 8 guides on a 7-foot rod. And that's also more labor to wrap those guides on. You've got more fiberglass and more.
And what about warranty?
Material, I mean,
the
blank.
Is there a deeper warranty on the more expensive?
Most rod companies, regardless, whether it's a lesser expensive Phoenix or Graftec, or whether it's a more expensive American-made rods, they usually have, if the rod breaks or fails due to an actual manufacturer's defect, they'll usually replace it at no charge. That happens about 1 out of every 1,000 rods, so it's probably not ever going to happen. Most rods that fail, it just, was bouncing down the road on the tailgate. You bounced a fish and the tip snapped off. And so they give you the option to buy the rod back at roughly about half price of the retail price. So, if it's a $400 rod and, you do something, to snap the tip off, they're going to let you buy one at $200.
Which isn't a bad...
It's not. They're not
like
obligated to do that.
They're not, but like you're saying, most accidents happen because of the angler.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they're playing swords with a gaff or whatever they might be doing.
People don't know how many times you're getting nicks inside of a rod, too, because they're bouncing around, like you said, tailgates,
and
doors,
rails. It could have happened 20 trips prior, but took that long for it to fracture.
Yep. I'm going to tell you this. The higher quality rods like CalStar, first of all, they stress test them before they ever send them out. But if it's a manufacturer's defect on the blank, the first time you bend it with pressure, it's going to snap. And so if you've caught 10 yellowtail on it or you know, you've been pulling on it with your buddy and it didn't break, there's not a manufacturer's defect more than likely. If a reel seat spins, that definitely is a manufacturer's issue. But
or you put your reel clamp on too tight on a deckhand stick,
yeah,
you crush the rod.
We had one this week that was that exact scenario. You know, you figure if tight is good, you know, over tight is better.
No,
you've got to, snug works.
snug, no spin.
Right.
So hey, we got another text here, which kind of goes in that same vein. Mark from La Quinta is asking, "Good morning, boys. I have a question for Doug. With the summer looking like it could be interesting with warm water, I'm looking to add another outfit for my arsenal. I have a Tarlica 12 with 65-pound braid, 40-pound top shot. Would a Speedmaster 16 be a good choice to fish 80-pound braid or 50-60-pound top shot? If that isn't suitable, can you give me some reel options and what would be a rod class to match?"
Yeah, if you're looking to go up from a Tarlica 12, I would go up two steps and get the Tarlica 20. That's a very common rod that we use on anything from 60-pound fish up to cows over 200 pounds, whether it's a Speedmaster or a Tarlica. The Speedmaster is perfectly worthy of catching a cow. They've caught numerous, numerous cows. And then I'm sure that you must have something in the lighter range, but just for people listening, you probably want to have either a Star Drag or a small lever drag two-speed, a Tarlica 10 or a Speedmaster 10. Those are great reels. Or you can do a Torium or a Trinidad, like a 16. That would be your live bait outfit for these 30-pound yellowfin. And then if you do inshore fishing, you're going to want to have some kind of a Tranks 3 or 400.
Yes, please and thank you.
Yes. Right?
Absolutely. The
greatest reels ever made.
Oh, my gosh.
They will spoil you.
But to go from a 12 to a 16, it's really the same duty. You get 75 yards more of line, and in every other way, it's the same reel. So it has the same gears, the same bearings, the same drags. So you're not really increasing. You're just redundancy to your Tarlica 12. So if you're looking to go up, I would probably do the Tarlica 20.
Interesting. So with the, I'm thinking popper fishing. I've got it on my mind, right?
Yes.
And talking Tranks 300, 400, and the redesigning of them with the solid frame.
Yep.
So is that in the 300 too? Or?
The 300 and the 400 have gotten the upgrade. The 500 is the original.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you talk about popper fishing, and, you know, if you're getting into these, you know, 50 to 100 pounders, the Tranks 500 is absolutely the right tool. It's hard to cast a popper on a Tarlica 12.
Yes.
Although you'd prefer after you hook a 100 pounder to have a two speed. There have been numerous fish from 1 to 200 pounds on that Tranks 500. It becomes a matter of line capacity at that point. But in a private boat, if you have to, you know,
chase them
run
down,
them down a little bit, you can.
Yeah.
If we get this school-sized fish, you know, that 25 to 40-pound fish, and you want to throw poppers out there on your Tranks 400, the reel will certainly handle it. Again, it becomes a matter of line capacity, but a 30-pound yellowfin can be subdued, or a bluefin for that matter, pretty well on a Tranks 400. If you just want it, private boat fishing, I wouldn't take that on a sport boat.
That's not the ideal. No.
You know, you're
asking for trouble.
Yes.
You want to go a little heavier on the sport boats and respect your fellow anglers by not, you know, spending too much time or, you know,
going around the boat,
just getting your butt kicked, you know, for half an hour on a 25-pound fish.
Right. It's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a real quick one here. Chuck in Long Beach asking, Doug, do the newer composite and graphite jig sticks change the pendulum casting dynamic?
You know, a little bit. So if you imagine a fiberglass blank is going to be, I use the term spongier, so it takes a little bit longer to recoil. So in my mind, when you say that, I'm maybe picturing a surface iron, but also a bait rod. So your release point can be a little bit later into the cast, because when you load the rod up, your tip is still loaded up behind you, and it takes a little bit longer for it to catch up. So the first time that I threw a jig stick that was pretty much a high percentage of graphite, the jig went down, you know, and so you have to adjust your release point. But then I discovered the CalStar 100J mag, and I don't know why, but for some reason it casts like a fiberglass rod, but then when you're fighting the fish, it keeps pressure on the fish better because every time there's a little slack that's going to go into the rod, it recoils quicker than fiberglass. So I've gone 100% to that 100J mag for surface iron. But live bait fishing, you know, we want, when we're fishing for these tuna, we want to be able to put maximum pressure on the tuna. So the graphiter, 70% graphite, 30% fiberglass, you just have to adjust your release point when you're lobbing a bait out there, a current sniper or a popper or whatever kind of surface.
It's hard when you switch back and forth between the different styles. I found that if I'm going to be throwing, stay with one because your motion and your timing stays with that one style.
Yeah, and it's not radical, but it's there.
It's there. That, like you said, that pendulum of a fiberglass rod loading.
Yep.
Old school. That's absolutely old school. But
yep.
Once you get off of that, going to a graphite or a composite, it's hard to go the other way back because your timing just gets thrown.
Yep.
On the load.
Your release wants to be slightly upward towards the sky. You know, maybe 20 degrees or 25 degrees, something like that. And so it's kind of a line drive. It's like a nice gapper double, you know, in baseball. You want to find what release point gives you that trajectory.
Absolutely.
That's definitely well said. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Tech, more good information with Mr. Doug Kern in the world headquarters here. We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and like I said, the Let's Talk Hookup app.
In 1976, Ford F-Series became America's best-selling truck. For nearly half a century, Ford has been passing mile markers and hitting milestones, leaving the competition behind as the best-selling truck brand in California. And your San Diego County Ford dealers plan to keep driving that success forward. Ford F-Series, on the road to 50 years of leadership. Let's go! Check out the entire Ford F-Series lineup and take a test drive today. Go to your local San Diego County Ford dealer.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Hey, we're talking about the Shimano spot right now. Schoolie fish in town. We've got a lot of options here. What would you suggest?
You know, we've got this great school fishing. We're fishing live bait. Fish are 25 to 40 pounds. And I like to fish a star drag on that size fish when you're bait fishing because you're going to get a little further cast. But more importantly, when your bait hits the water, it's going to be able to swim more freely on a star drag reel. So a Trinidad is the pinnacle of that, and probably a 16 size is about ideal for what we're doing now. You put Power Pro on there, probably 50-pound test, top it with a little piece of fluorocarbon, you know, 25, 30-pound line, and then put it on an 8-foot Terramar rod, and that's going to be your ideal outfit.
When you're pursuing big game fish, the right gear is essential. Not just the rod, reel, and line, but the right pair of binoculars, too. So upgrade your gear to the best pair of Fujinon stabilized binoculars from Baker Marine. Baker Marine has been selling binoculars for decades, and more importantly, they service all brands right there at their San Diego Shelter Island location. Need the best? Fujinon Stabiscopes are the professional's choice. Looking for top-tier stabilization at a great price? The Fujinon Technostabi TSX 1440s deliver rock-steady vision, even in rough waters, perfect for serious anglers. Baker Marine is the largest Fujinon retailer on the West Coast, and when you buy from them, they'll be there when your binoculars need service. Plus, they'll give you a great price on all in-stock Fujinon binoculars. Stop by their store on Shelter Island in San Diego and test a pair of Fujinon binoculars and see which ones are right for you. They even have compact and lightweight Fujinon stabilized binoculars for your next vacation or hunting trip. You know you need a pair of stabilized binoculars, so get them from the experts at Baker Marine. Learn more at BakerMarine.com.
All right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And live radio is so much fun, isn't it, man?
Just having a love
great
it.
Time in the world headquarters and sharing time with not only Wayne Cotto, but with Mr. Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. And I'm just stoked to be in here and having a great time.
We are having a great time this morning, aren't
right?
we?
Right, exactly. Giving away a pair of Costa sunglasses, the Corbina Pro with the gray 500 glass lens. And I think we've got a live report.
Sounds like we got Mike from the Tribune calling in. Mike, you in there?
I hear the sonar.
Yeah. No, hey, good morning, guys. Same kind of routine. Catching some bluefin here this morning. We picked up a Dorado on our first stop.
Nice.
With the wrong crowd, but sitting here watching fish float all over the barrel. We got one of our anglers, Scott Dushimi, just hooked up. But good sign of fish here once again. Pretty nice weather. A little choppy coming out last night, but right now it's pretty darn nice. And I think everybody's seeing a pretty good sign of fish this morning.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what a beautiful thing. And we've been talking this morning, Mike, about the developments of our early season and a mix of yellowfin in with the bluefin, and just what a beautiful thing is it's actually happening right now.
Yeah, and I mean, we had a handful of that yellowfin on our last trip, and they're good ones. Like, they're 35 pounds, and we might have had one that was close to 40 pounds. There's nice rate of fish. We had a bluefin on the troll here this morning that's probably just over 50 pounds. Well, I think Max on the Pacific Voyager said they got one on the troll that was 90 pounds. So it's not, you're not coming out catching 12. And it's, you know, it's been really consistent. Like, to the point where it's really enjoyable because you don't have to look at the sonar or the fish finder the whole time. You start running up. Oh, we took another one.
And it's daytime.
I know. Everybody's getting some sleep.
Just looked up.
Yeah, it's such a nice change of pace. I mean, there has been a little bit of tuna caught at night. We started looking around about 3 o'clock this morning. We saw a couple of schools, but I mean, this is it's so enjoyable.
So the first question I'm going to get asked is, what are you trolling?
Mostly Helcos.
Perfect. What size do you know?
I don't know.
Doug's going to be stocking up on those right now.
No, I already did. It's the 190 size Halco Laser Pro.
Yeah, and it's you know what, it's funny because it's any color too. I mean, we've had four-weight jig strikes, anything from like a, you know, kind of a chartreuse on down to something that's had the color chewed off of it.
Always fun.
Incredible stuff, Mike. And it's so nice with this enjoyable season, you know, starting out early. And, you know, Brandon Hayward mentioned something last week that really caught my ear, Mike. And it's like El Nino, right? But don't wait for it to develop. Like the
fish are biting.
The fish are biting.
Just go.
Right? And it actually, the last one we had, it petered out in the fall. Like it happened early, and then it started to taper from there.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the fishing right now. You know, to be able to catch bluefin, yellowfin, and Dorado any time of the year, it doesn't matter if it's spring or not. I mean, at the quality of the fish, the Dorado have been good ones. I'm sure it's just going to get better. If these Dorados stick around, they're going to be 20 pounds bigger by the end of summer.
Right.
That's crazy, Mike. When's your next trip, and do you have availability?
So tomorrow night, we only have 5 reservations booked right now. Last Sunday, we ended up getting out with 18, which is a nice, comfortable load on this boat by you know, any means. And we had limits of bluefin last trip, 5 yellowfin and a Dorado, and that was with 18 guys on the boat. So if we can get a handful more, we'll make it a go. Weather looks about the same. There's going to be a little bit of a bump, but nothing, you know, it'd be nice to consider it any time of the year.
Yes. Perfect. How do we get a hold of you?
Seaforth Landing, 619-224-3383. Seaforthlanding.com, tributesportfishing.com. And I, when you bring up Brandon Hayward, all I could picture is him doing the lobster wahoo combos.
Yeah, buddy. Well, those are coming in about October this year.
Yeah.
When he first put those online, I go, you're really trying to do this? And he did, and it worked. You go out and you fish lobster at night, and you go catch some wahoo during the day locally, and that I might be in the cards again.
Oh, that's crazy, Mike. And we had Marcos on earlier, and if somebody was to call him right now, they could get on tomorrow. Is it tomorrow night's trip?
Tomorrow night, early departure, 5 p.m. I need a handful of more to run, and we'd love to come back out here and do this all over again. We got two guys with fish hanging up here in the bow. We got good sign of fish boiling around us. There's a big breezer behind us. We're pretty stoked with the way that's starting out here this morning.
I love hearing the sounder in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good stuff, Mike. Hopefully a handful of guys call and get the boat off with a light load for the anglers. Be stoked, man.
Yep, I'll check back in with you guys in the morning.
All right, appreciate it.
Yeah, the live reports from the boats, man, they're always so awesome, and it's nice that Mike takes the time to call in.
That was a great report, but I want to add to that.
Yeah.
Two boats, Pacific Queen and New Loanne, came in this morning with triple-digit bluefin, so it's kind of been
in a day and a half range.
Yes, and so it looks like the bigger fish are starting to show up a little bit. So just to add one more, you know,
sprinkle of spice onto it
to the mix.
and I think they were on 2-day trips, right?
Yeah,
but that 2-day is day and a half range,
yeah,
just extended.
I think
it gives you a better opportunity to catch the fish and get 2-day limits.
But
yes, I think the Queen left on Friday. No,
okay.
On must have been Thursday. I don't know. Anyway, they're within range of, you know, they're within striking distance of the fleet.
That's
so
incredible, man.
Yeah, the guys don't want to get their butt kicked. It's time to go.
That mixed in with legit yellowfin and
yes,
and Dorado, and man, sign me up. Yeah, I've got a great text here I wanted to read, and it comes from Dennis, and he's in canning country. So Dennis says, "Good morning, guys. I'm looking for advice on getting a new CalStar rod for a 30-pound test." He said, "Thanks again."
Yep. Well, that's I think a lot of guys are going to be looking at their gear this year because we've been focusing so much on rail rods the last 5 or so years. But the Graphfighter series is their top-of-the-line series, and that 800 series, so it's an 8-foot rod. And for a bait rod for these kind of fish, probably like an 800 medium light to an 800 medium is going to be the range. And again, I always recommend that guys come into the tackle store, pull on the rod, kind of see what you're getting. Some people prefer a little lighter rod for the casting. Some prefer just a little heavier rod for pulling on the fish. But those two rods would be the quintessential 30-pound bait rod, 8-foot for lobbing the sardine out there a long ways.
And what would you pair it up with reel-wise?
Again, you know, that could be either a lever drag or a star drag. You're kind of getting into that middle ground. Certainly on 30-pound you can pull hard, and if you accidentally hook, you know, a 50-60-pound tuna, the lever drag 2-speed is nice. So that's the Talica 10. You could go with a 12, but for bait fishing, doesn't cast the bait quite as well. And then for the star drag, Trinidad 20, you can't ever go wrong with that.
That's all good stuff right there. You got a good text, Wayne?
Yeah, we've got Dan in West Covina asking this one. "Good morning, Doug, Corey, Wayne. I'll be starting out my fishing season and heading out to the Coronados in a few weeks with a buddy of mine. And the question goes to Doug. I'm looking to pick up a new Torium 20 to replace the one that I've had for the last 20 years. What do you feel is the different about the latest model versus the older ones? Can't wait to try out for Yellowtail coming up on the multi-day trips this summer. Great to have you on the show."
Yep, so that original Torium series, it was by the standard of the new one, a little bit bigger and clunkier. And it was not a big clunky reel until you bought the new one, and they were able to take the same exact line capacity. So the spool line capacity is the same as the old original one, but the outside frame is much smaller, so it's way easier to handle. It also has more cranking power. The drag system is a little bit more robust, and the free spool is insanely good, which we're going to have to start honing our bait casting skills this year, because you've got to pick the right bait, you've got to hook it gently so that you don't kill your bait, and then you've got to have an outfit that will cast that bait away from the boat. Worst thing in the middle of a good bite is to, you know, lob it out there 10 feet and your bait swims right under the boat and gets caught in the rudder and all kinds of horrible things happen. So there's nothing wrong with going out to the park and casting get yourself about a 6-inch MC bait and just tie it on without a lead head and practice casting that thing until you get good at it. And when you get to the bait receiver, do the same thing just so that you're tuned up with the real bait. You know, where to, you know, pin them in different places, nose hook, collar hook, butt hook, shoulder hook, you know, just get yourself kind of tuned up before you go on that trip. And
there's such an art to bait fishing.
There is.
There really is.
You know, it's not that hard to drop a 300 gram tungsten down, and then when it stops sinking, you got one. You know.
And it wasn't the bottom.
No, it wasn't the bottom.
It's funny. We all started, I think, in the half and three quarter day trips.
Yeah.
And that's where you learn how to bait fish the best.
Definitely. Because
you're putting hundreds of baits on usually in a day, and you're just changing them out. You learn how to cast. You learn how to hook them. You learn how to finesse your reel, to back spool a reel. There's just so many techniques that you learn because you're just throwing that many more baits. But the more that you learn that technique, the better you're going to be as a fisherman. Because if you get that hot bait, how to select a bait was a big thing, right? Not squeezing and taking all the scales off.
Squeezing all the love out.
Yeah. Well, when he baits at the water and they're just dead.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, you need to change that bait. You're not going to get anything.
And the pendulum overhead cast, I mean, we all have it down, right? But there's times where just that underhand.
You watch a good deckhand do an underhand cast.
And just get that bait in the water safely, right?
Yep.
It doesn't hit the water hard. It goes in the water and glides in.
Doesn't lose.
You don't hear a slap.
No.
Lose half its scales on the fall.
And you know, the thing that I see a lot of people do is they'll throw a bait out there and it doesn't swim. And so you backpedal to try and, you know, coax it to swim.
Backpedal by feathering the reel.
Yeah, so you just use your hands and spool some line on the reel until you feel it bump the weight of the bait. If your bait's not swimming pretty darn quickly, just bring it in because it's unlikely to get a bite. But then when you get that one where it hits the water and just takes off, let it go. I mean, you know, feather the line so you don't get a backlash, but let it go. And that's the one that's going to get bit. And you might have picked the same style bait, but one swims and one doesn't.
You know, Brian Kiyohara had it put really cleanly, and it's a reaction bite.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, you think of reaction bites with lures. And,
yep.
You know, whether it's a surface iron or weedless bait through the kelp, right? You're drawing a reaction. But that bait hitting the water and sinking that first 50 feet, it's a reaction.
It is.
Fish will look up.
Yes,
yep.
Exactly. And they're chimed into that chum, and you know, there's 10 pieces hitting the water every couple minutes, and they're waiting for that, man.
Yep, and every person should become proficient in hooking a bait just above the anal fins and not casting it off. It's a soft part of the meat on a bait, but once you get that bait out there, it lifts the tail, so he has no place else to go when he kicks his tail to go down. And a lot of times that bait that goes down gets bit the best.
Right. I love that reaction bite, man.
Yes.
It's interesting, too. We go back to what Mark Wish was talking about on the fluttering of a jig. People need to learn that technique because it's the same thing as kind of like a slow pitch technique where you're fluttering the jig down through the water column. It's a reaction bite.
Yeah.
And in that, with the new metal jigs that we have, any of those brands, if you go to the lightest one that you can get down through the water column without sinking straight through. This isn't the nighttime bluefin where you just got to get down there. This is a flutter technique to get that reaction bite with that metal jig as it's going down.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and, you know, we've all forgotten about it, how this whole thing started. But the flat fall has that action. And the 130 and the 160 flat fall was our A-plus number one jig when all this bluefin started. And that's the kind of bait that's likely to get a bite right now.
Still pull those out.
Yep.
Have an arsenal of those at home.
Right.
But exactly. On top of that, man, we can't go away from the MC swim baits.
Hey, bring on the calicos, man.
We got a good text here from Bill over in Mission Viejo saying, excellent show with a fantastic information. Just want to let you know, Corey, that I'm still trying to use my Queen Charlotte MC swim baits to get a monster halibut. Oh, the big old ling cut at Dana Point. Thanks again for the good
so
show.
Funny. Yeah, nice. I remember seeing him at Del Mar, and he was thinking on one of those huge curl tails that he could get a local halibut. And I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
You never say never.
Never know what a fish is going to eat.
I know. I mean, it's 12 inches.
Never say never.
Yeah.
You got another good text over there?
Yeah, there's so many coming in. And this comes from Brent. And Brent's texting in from Montana, actually. Maybe he's checking the
water. Well, maybe he's up there with Pete.
I was thinking maybe he's checking the water flow with Pete there. Good morning, Wayne, Corey, and Doug. Doug, I'm aware that you just had day at the docks. I was unable to make it down. However, I will be down in late October, early November.
Oh.
Right. Can you confirm that there will be a tackle day?
Yep, tackle day. It's the first Saturday of November every year. I believe it's the second this year, but don't hold me to that. And that is the one where we pull out all the stops. We're at the end of the season. Anything that we're overstocked on, we want to turn metal into money so we can get through the winter. And we do the mystery boxes, and we do discounts that we don't ever do anywhere else. And it's just a fun day, the casting contest that is put on by the San Diego Anglers and the San Diego Angler Foundation.
And the Rollo Pick-A-Box.
We've got the Pick-A-Box there, friend of Rollo.
And it looks like the first Saturday happens to be the 7th.
Oh, right? It is. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's finally reverted back to, I think it was the 2nd this year.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's first Saturday. Looks like it's the 7th. That'll give us an extra few days to plan because, boy, is it a challenge to get that all together, goodness.
You move the tackle store out to the parking lot.
Yeah, when we have 25 vendors, we have a food vendor, we have Rollo, we have, Let's Talk Hookup, we've got the casting contest, and don't hold me to this, but we're considering having a rubber band challenge.
Oh!
Where everybody would pay $5 that wants to participate, and we're going to have a styrofoam target, and those rubber bands will stick into the styrofoam.
I have to let people know. The listeners don't know Doug's talking about.
I think everybody knows by now.
Famous. In a shop or at the shows, at PCS shows or in the tackle shop here at Fisherman's
Landing. And back in the Fred Hall shows.
Exactly. The boys just love elbowing each other with rubber bands.
Yes.
Anybody who walked by, and it was between Dyla's booth and the Fisherman's Landing booth.
Rubber bands are flying.
It was flying. You were going through the gauntlet.
So we'll paint a target on the styrofoam. The tackle guy will take his 3 shots, and then the guest will take their 3 shots. Anybody that gets more points than the tackle guy will go into a drawing for a 2-speed reel.
Oh, man. Wow.
So is this a thing? I mean, is it going to happen?
It's a concept.
Okay.
So that's why
that's a great concept.
But I think it would be fun for everybody that knows the whole rubber band thing with Fisherman Landing Tackle Shop.
That's another video you can find on YouTube.
Oh, my gosh.
That video has got millions of plays.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so much fun at the Del Mar show, and it was one of those things. It was this culmination of every time you walk by, you were getting stung by those rubber bands and everybody. And so we ganged up on Fisherman's Landing one day, but they were ready for it. They stood tall in their booth, and they took it. And we got kids and tackle vendors and sponsors all involved in it. And it was just the most fun time ever.
Yeah, it lasted about 8 or 10 minutes. And when we finally swept up all those rubber bands in our booth.
Yeah.
It looked like a pitcher's mound. It
oh,
was thousands.
Wow.
Robbie Gant went to Staples and bought thousands of rubber bands.
Crazy.
And he passed them out to all the vendors. And at 10 minutes till 6 o'clock at Del Mar, show closed at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And here they came. Well, we got word of it, so we all had our sunglasses on so we wouldn't lose an eyeball. And and we had strategic piles of rubber bands all around the booth.
They stood tall.
And people don't realize the technique we use. It stings.
It stings.
Oh, my gosh.
And guys would come up to the booth too close, and we would zap them, and you'd see them back up to the back row.
That's so funny. Hey, I've got to give a shout-out to the boys, your boys in the tackle shop this morning. When I was in there this past week, they've got it planned, and just they said how much they enjoy listening to the live shows every week. So
definitely.
Good morning to the Fisherman's Landing crew. Yeah.
Hey, we got another text here from Nick in La Jolla. He's saying, what is the best advice for a beginner angler that goes on a half-day boat once a month and wants to increase his success rate on a crowded boat?
So I would say the first thing you can do is make sure that your tackle is half-day appropriate. Most people, like when the Calico Bass Bite, bring out their, you know, Torium 16 with 30-pound test, and you can't cast a sardine or an anchovy. Perfect your casting, whether you're doing plastics or live bait. So you're going to want to have like a little Tranks 300 or 400, and if you use mono, which is fine, you know, do 15-pound tests. Don't do 25 or 30. You're going to get bit. and listen to the deckhands. Those guys are out there every day. And even ask them, it's like, you know, I come out here and I see a lot of these guys that are catching fish and I want to, you know, up my game so that I'm more proficient, and learn from them. And
always be willing to talk to the crew.
Of
because
course.
If you come out like that, Doug, they're going to be so willing to help you out. If you can admit, like, hey, just watch me during the day. I may need help.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are so many variables. A lot of times if you're anchored up somewhere, the current will be going one way, the wind will be going another way. And the last thing you want to do is cast your bait and have the current take it under the boat. You want to get it behind the boat or even out the side so that your bait gets away from the boat. You know, there's also a lot of rock fishing. But, you know, if you're on a calico bass trip and you haven't caught anything and you've seen, you know, five guys caught calico bass, well, maybe there's 30 guys on the boat. So that means 25 guys haven't caught one yet. So don't just revert to dropping down to the bottom and standing there waiting for a bite.
And let's not forget the Doug Kearns, the Kiyoharas, the Boogers, the Lopresti's of the industry all started half-day fishing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's remember that. Hey, we're going to be right back. You've been listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live. We're going to find out who's won this Paracosta sunglasses when we return.
Do you know why a million customers visited Summit Gasoline last year at the San Diego Sports Arena? Because they give you the lowest price on fuel, great service, and easy access, even for trucks and trailers at their 24 pumps. Summit is known for the best price on ice, too. Almost half the cost of any other vendor. 25 pounds for just $3.99. Martha and her crew love fishermen. And they'll prove it by giving you 100 pounds free with a 35-gallon fill-up. Summit offers over 40 snacks and drinks to choose from for only 89 cents. And even a line of hand creams and lip balms for 89 cents, too. Summit now proudly offers locally made burritos and sandwiches, made fresh daily and ready to go wherever the current takes you. Summit just upgraded their car wash. And for a limited time, get a deluxe car wash for only $6. Grab the wife's car, grab a cheap sandwich, and make up for the day on the water. Summit Gasoline. Lowest prices, friendliest staff, easy access, and free ice. What more can you ask for?
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home with an absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs. Your bait swims harder and longer, and when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
Hook up!
All right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Doug's got the honors. Flip the coin. And it happens to be, look at that, a texter.
Texter.
Wow. Happens to be Bill in Mission Viejo.
Congratulations, Bill.
Paracostas, man. The 580 Corbinas.
Fastest 2 hours in radio, like we
no
always
doubt.
Talk about. It's so much fun. Hey, we congratulations on everything that's going on with Tackle, our day at the docks the other day. And Ricky and Dallas, let's go. You got to win. Three-peat. Hey, tomorrow on Let's Talk Hookup, we have Captain Dave Abraham from the Tomahawk. Corey and Rick will be in the shop here. And we'll be talking to you guys tomorrow on Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.